In 1936, a pretty odd duo made their radio debut on a comedy show. Charlie McCarthy and Edgar Bergen quickly became big stars.
And here are Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
They toured military hospitals and made overseas appearances during World War II to help lift the soldiers' spirits. They got enormous ratings. They just made a great pair.
What did you think of the picture?
Oh, boy, great, great. I give it 4 bells.
Edgar was a comedian. His career was in vaudeville, radio, and film, and it spanned over 50 years. And Charlie, well, Charlie was a dummy. I mean, like a wooden, like an actual dummy.
Hello, Dean. How very nice to see you again.
Yeah, hiya, Vino.
No, Charlie. Mr. Martin's name is Dino, not Vino.
Well, I call him the way I see him.
In fact, it's pretty likely you've seen a version of Charlie. He's maybe the most famous ventriloquist dummy ever created. Edgar had originally sketched out what he wanted Charlie to look like, and he hired someone to carve him out of wood. And Charlie had this signature look, this black tuxedo, occasionally a top hat and a monocle. And he always looked sharp, but he also looked a little bit like a mischievous little kid. And they performed their own radio show for over 15 years. But in 1978, more than 40 years after they started together, Edgar finally retired from show business, which meant that Charlie was also being retired. Today, you can see a version of Charlie, it's a replica of the original, in Northern Kentucky. It's held at one of the only museums in the world dedicated to ventriloquism. I'm Dylan Thuris, and this is Atlas Obscura, a celebration of the world's strange, incredible, and wondrous places. Today, we are headed to the Vent Haven Museum in Fort Mitchell, Kentucky. It is either your dream place or your nightmare, depending on how you feel about dummies. Because there are more than 500 of them there, resting in peace, waiting for your arrival. More after this. If you're looking for a place where the wide-open skies and the towering mountains inspire you to find an untapped part of yourself, you might want to take a trip to Wyoming. It's a place where bold, curious spirits forge their own way on all types of adventures. There is no shortage of iconic, expansive landscapes out there. You can discover breathtaking hikes, stunning state parks, authentic Western culture, and other historic sites, along with the tales of famous outlaws like Butch Cassidy and pioneers like Buffalo Bill Cody. The truth lies west. Discover yours at travelwyoming.com.
Save big money on your next project with help from Menards. Move water where you need it quickly with a Barracuda sump pump. Sump pumps keep your basement dry when big storms hit unexpectedly. Get a half horsepower cast iron Barracuda sump pump on sale now through May 5th. Hurry into Menards. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Ventriloquism is a really old practice. There are traces of it in Greek mythology. Some say it was associated with witchcraft. And of course, there is a long modern practice as well.
Well, at least, at least 200 years that it's recorded, that we have evidence of acts and things like that.
This is Lisa Sweezy. She looks after all the dummies in the Vent Haven Museum.
But as far as the performance art, you're talking about the late 18th century into the early 19th century, that it becomes, you know, pretty common for people to see.
Lisa says there are a couple of things that set ventriloquism apart from other kinds of puppetry. For one thing, all of the puppeteering is happening in plain sight. It's different compared to something like Sesame Street, where the puppeteer is, you know, below the camera. You can't see the person operating Elmo.
Typically, if you have to put your hand up in the puppet to operate it and your mouth is doing the mouth movement, we do call those puppets. But when your hand is going into the back of the dummy and there's a head stick coming down with the mechanics on that stick, and so you're typically pushing a lever or pulling a button or pulling something, a string down or a latch down, that's a dummy.
Well, whatever you say, you know, it's up to you. You got your hand up my back. All right.
Most dummies are made from paper mache or wood. Today, some are made from vinyl or soft figures that kind of look like stuffed animals. The Van Haven Museum carries just about every type of puppet and ventriloquism dummy you can think of. That's all thanks to the obsession of the museum's founder, someone named William Shakespeare Berger. Not to be confused with the very famous English playwright. That would be amazing if all of Shakespeare's plays were performed by ventriloquists. Little known fact, they were all done by dummies. To be or not to be, you know? No, they have the same name. And William Shakespeare Berger is the reason that this collection of dummies exists in the first place. William Shakespeare Berger was not a comedian or an actor. In fact, he had one career throughout his entire life. He worked in manufacturing at the same tile company for more than 50 years. But William Shakespeare Berger's father had been a stage actor and had been really into the vaudeville scene. Some of it rubbed off on young William, and he started collecting.
He got his first dummy in 1910, and it was basically just as like a little novelty. He would go on a business trip for the tile company, and he bought one and brought it home to show it to his wife.
I'm sure that William Shakespeare Berger's wife just loved him coming home from business trips with dummies. But he did, and that first dummy was named Tommy Baloney. It was a cute little fella with red hair. And in 1932... William Shakespeare Berger, let's just call him Will, he bought four more of these dummies. And little by little, his collection of dummies just started to grow. He tried his hand at performance. He performed locally for Boy Scouts and other troops, but the art of performance just didn't click with him. But collecting did.
And once he started collecting, it just snowballed and snowballed until it was basically a full-time job for him. So when he died in 1972, he actually had amassed a collection of about 500 dummies.
Ah, home sweet home. Just me, my family, and 500 ventriloquist dummies. Well, that was Will's home. And he loved talking to ventriloquists about their dummies and their work. Lisa has a collection of Will's letters because he wrote to around 5,200 ventriloquists just to talk shop. But despite the collection of hundreds of dummies in his house and all of these letters, he never became a professional performer himself.
I think it's too hard. I think it's a lot like playing an instrument where you think it's going to be easier than it is, and it's practice. It's difficult. It is, especially for a grown person to learn, it is very similar to learning an instrument or to learning a foreign language and having to do pronunciations.
The thing is, ventriloquism is really hard. This ability to speak without moving your lips requires incredible control of your vocal muscles. You have to create this illusion that the dummy is speaking. And by the time Will started collecting, he was already in his 50s. So acquiring that skill at that point was definitely challenging. Lisa, who runs the Van Haven Museum, she's not a performer either, but she did share a tip that might give someone help in getting started in their ventriloquist career.
The easiest sound to substitute is the W, in my opinion. So when you make when you say the word water, it's very visual. Your mouth moves quite a bit. And so for the wah sound that ventriloquists are doing, they substitute it with two sounds, oo and ah, which you do not need to open your mouth for. So it's water becomes oo water, oo water. And so you can keep your mouth very still and say oo water, and it comes out, if you say it quickly enough, water. It's really cool. That's my best impression of a ventriloquist. That's all you're going to get.
Water. Water.
give me that glass of water. Let me try again. Give me that glass of water. Wow, I'm good. God, just I really got it that time. Today, the museum sits where it began, in William's home. But the collection continues to grow. Over the years, renovations were done to make space for all of these new dummies. And there are some really interesting dummies in this museum.
We have a dummy that I love named Roland. It's just a head on the stick that was actually made in a Russian prisoner of war camp by a figure maker ventriloquist named Eric Everty, who had access to scrap wood. And so he built this very crude little head. And I mean, he found a piece of wire and he used tar for the eyes and newspaper for the body. But he used it to entertain the cabin mates there that were prisoners with him.
There's also Rosita, who entertained dozens of troops during World War II. She was created by a veteran named Jim Hume. Both Jim and Rosita traveled in the Caribbean and Central America. And on some occasions, Jim had a translator to entertain Spanish-speaking crowds.
We have a dummy that's 6'6". He's the biggest one. His name is Reuben Hick Hickory. And he was used by Jay Johnson in a special that Harry Anderson did called Harry Anderson's Sideshow.
Yeah, my name is Hickory Reuben, but you can just call me Hick. Everybody does, yeah. I love the sideshow.
Of course, there is the famous beloved talking sheep, Lamb Chop, that was created by Sherry Lewis.
You know what you are?
What?
You're a talking tripod.
Lamb Chop, what is the matter with you today?
But not all of these dummies inspire laughter. Some have been created to terrify. Like, for example, Slappy, the ventriloquist dummy from the book series Goosebumps. In fact, writer R.L. Stine referenced the British horror film Dead of Night as his inspiration for Slappy. And in the film, a mad ventriloquist and his dummy Hugo torment each other until one of them goes insane.
This fella's almost human.
Did you say almost?
That's right. As if you got a mind of your own.
Maxwell, this fellow's as stupid as you are.
Of course, this scary factor of dummies is absolutely nothing new to Lisa.
I'm very used to that and helping people kind of broaden their knowledge base about what ventriloquism actually is and what it's primarily being used for. Character development is a huge part of being a successful ventriloquist. You have to be funny. You have to have the technical skill. But again, it goes to this concept of being a musician. You can be technically proficient at an instrument, and that doesn't necessarily make you a great performer. It's much more to playing the piano than knowing how to read music. So finding these characters, developing these characters, finding an appropriate voice for the character, having a relationship between the ventriloquist and the character so that there's a comedy team that emerges. There's a lot that's going on to be successful at this.
If you're interested in visiting the Van Haven Museum, and you should be, it's a crazy place. You should go on their website, vanhavenmuseum.org, and you can schedule a tour. Today, I actually want to hand over the credits to someone else, to my very best friend, incredible performer, Timmy Tender. Here he is.
Yeah, thanks, Dylan. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, I'm excited to have you here.
All right, guys, let me do these credits. Okay. This episode was produced by
Manolo Morales.
Our podcast is a current production of Atlas Obscura and Stitcher Studios.
You're doing great.
This production team includes
Doug Baldinger,
Chris Naka,
Camille Stanley,
Johanna Mayer,
Baudelaire,
Gabby Gladney.
Our technical director is
Casey Holford.
And this episode was mixed by
Luce Fleming.
I'm Timmy Tender, wishing you all the wonder in the world. Until next time. Wishing you all the wonder in the world. See you next time.
All right, this joke's over.
Save big money on your next project with help from Menards. Move water where you need it quickly with a Barracuda sump pump. Sump pumps keep your basement dry when big storms hit unexpectedly. Get a half-horsepower cast iron Barracuda sump pump on sale now through May 5th. Hurry into Menards. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.